This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com.
This is the mainframe. Welcome back, everyone, to our series on practical metrics. And in this episode, we're going to be talking about practical metrics tools. How you doing today, Chris?
I think we're both in disease mode today. It's like an episode of The Walking Dead.
Exactly.
You've lost your voice, and I'm stuffed up with sinus stuff.
So I know.
This is going to be a quality audio.
We're both suffering from the back-to-school plague. I mean, our kids head back to school into that Petri dish and bring back all kinds of stuff, so... The smoky voice I have, I apologize for. It's not quite as sexy as Jamie Clayton or Kathleen Turner. But
you got a bit of a Darth Vader going on.
Yeah, I think as long as I enunciate, we should be good. And I'll and for the benefit of our audience, we're going to edit out any coughing fits, so you won't have to listen to that.
I hope so. Let's try. So, Mr. L. Jones, do you want to kick us off?
Yeah. So really what we're talking about here is the tools. So we've covered in the past couple of episodes about really using practical measurement strategy. So doing things that are effective for your business. So we're talking about the tools that you would use and how you would use them in this episode, right?
Yeah. And we don't want anybody to obsess about the tools or even go ahead and buy anything expensive. Really, it's about using what you've got to begin with. And just starting to measure and starting to manage. And Google Analytics is 90% of what we'd recommend for most people, right?
Exactly. And we talk about this a lot. People ask when we typically do these type of webinars, what do we recommend? Well, get started with Google Analytics. And that's still what we use the majority of the time, because you can really start off with some very basic stuff, get a good handle on what it is that you're tracking, and then you can really dive deep and get more advanced as you go. So it's a great place to start, and for a lot of businesses, it's all you're ever going to need.
Yeah, and you can get really fancy with Google Analytics, so it can be really simple. And the fact is, back when, I think it was called Urchin, wasn't it, the original system that Google bought, that was already powerful, and they've added and added and added. There's a whole API so you can code to it. But really, the simple metrics that it produces quite easily is going to be the majority of what you're going to need on a weekly basis or even a monthly basis. And then from there, you can add dashboards. You can import a lot of things that the community have built. But just start with goal conversions. We've mentioned that a few times because, as we've said before in previous episodes, you want to work back from the results. You want to work back from the things, the actions that you want your customers to make.
That's true, because really the most effective way to do the strategy is to begin with the end in mind, like we've been talking about in other episodes. And the reason you're doing that is because one of the things that people tend to miss is why they're doing things. But when you start with your conversions, you understand, I mean, that's what you're trying to get to. So by starting there and working backwards, that's the way to go. So if you're starting with Google Analytics, you really look at the end of the funnel. You're looking at your goal conversions and starting there so that you can see, here is where I want them to end up. This is the actual goal that I'm setting in Google Analytics. And then you work back through your funnel from there.
Yeah, and the simplest way of doing that is to have a thank you page or a welcome page. So after they've taken that action, have your system drop that person onto a thank you page that says, success, you've been added to the list, or you've bought the product, or this is what to do next. And then have that page have a unique URL for that product or that conversion or that action. And then tell Google Analytics, anybody that lands on that page has achieved the goal.
So you're starting with a success. Another thing that you want to measure is starting with a not success, like a cart abandonment, right? You can use Google Analytics to track why somebody is not converting. And also you can use, depending on what you're using for your particular checkout process, you can also look at it there. So those are two tools you need to look at to effectively look at things like cart abandonment, right?
Yeah, and that alone is going to give you fabulous information. And we've talked before about advertising. Yes, you could actually, using pixels, track people who don't achieve the goal, and then you could create a custom audience. But for this, all you need to do is say, what is the difference between the people who go all the way through and get success and do the goal and the people who don't? What can we learn from that? And that's going to give you some significant information to be able to change your strategy, change your approach, and make business decisions. So what's the difference between the people who convert and the people who don't convert? And that's the same for your emails and purchasing and inquiry forms, lead generation forms. What is the difference between the people who are a yes and the people who are a no?
And this carries on into testing. And this will give you a lot of good ideas about what is working and what is not. So for example, one of the things that we tested several years ago, doing this exact method, starting with the end in mind, looking at our conversions, and then looking at our actual checkout page, what was working and what wasn't. Where was abandonment happening? So we could actually track in our tool that we were using at the time for our checkout and in Google Analytics where people were dropping off. And we found that by having this multi-stage, multi-step checkout process, people were getting, so they would set up an account, then they would abandon in the middle and not actually finish. Now, we could follow up with those people and say, hey, sorry, did you get confused? Did you get lost? What could we do? But we also found that the best way to get rid of that, and you'll see this a lot, this was something that a lot of people have moved towards, is a single step checkout, because the less barrier to entry you put there, the more likely somebody's going to convert. So we were able to see that our multi-step checkout process was causing people to ditch the checkout on step two, for example. And we tracked that very clearly using Google Analytics and using our checkout tracking that we had just right there in the tool. And then we were able to switch it to a one-step checkout. And immediately that rate changed and we were able to get people through the whole thing, because there's a lot of psychology behind it. But basically, the easier it is for somebody to complete the task you want them to, the more likely they're going to do it. And that was where we used a very specific tracking tool to show us and demonstrate what was working and what wasn't.
Yeah. And another thing we've noticed is remove navigation from that end of the funnel. Because if you give somebody an option to go off down a rabbit hole, they'll follow it like ooh squirrel, and then they'll forget that they were checking out. So it's a good idea, once you get into that stage, the only navigation should really be for specifically things to do with checking out, you know, like a progress bar or a reminder of what you're getting and the risk reversal. Don't give people navigation to send people away from the checkout, because that's giving them the option of abandoning. Now, the one thing that has got an advantage with a multi-stage checkout, you can see the stage that people fall out. And being based in Canada and talking to a lot of Canadians, we hate the really expensive delivery fees for sending something over the border from the United States, and especially as the conversion rate is quite high right now. And so you'll find a lot of people abandoning because of postage costs. If you have a single page checkout with a physical item that you're delivering, make sure that you're tracking where they are within the form using OnFocus or using a postage inquiry and things like that, so that you can see where they are in the process, even if it's a one page form. But that's quite an advanced thing. Really, all you need to know is, are they falling out and why are they falling out? And there's a lot you can infer from that. But once they've checked out, the next thing you need to look at is what your refund rate and your chargebacks are. If you've got a really good sales system, if you've got really good marketing, and maybe you've got a good sales team, the emphasis can be on just getting the conversion, but you don't want the conversion to be at the expense of your merchant account, right?
That's exactly right. And the best way to track that is use the tools you're already using for onboarding and for customer service to get a handle on what is causing that friction after purchase. So this is another tool for tracking metrics at the end of your funnel. If you're using a help desk system, you can actually tag certain things to say, okay, this was a refund or this person wasn't happy, and use that to get an idea of why. And this is one of those things that people don't think of as a conversion tool, but customer service is just really a factor of marketing. It's part of that process. It's part of your conversion process, because once somebody has purchased, you have to make sure they're happy with what they've purchased and that they will continue to return back for additional purchases, or that they will speak well of your company. So you do that by tracking through your customer service. So here's an area where you utilize the tools that you're already doing to provide an onboarding service or to provide your customer service to get a glimpse into what happens after purchase. Where are they falling out at that point? Are they asking for a refund because they're confused and your onboarding is not maybe up to where it needs to be? Or are you not delivering what you said? And do you need to go back and look at how it's being marketed? Or should the product change to better accommodate what it is that the customer's looking for?
Yeah, it could be just a simple spreadsheet at that point. It could be you're exporting your tickets. It could be you've got a powerful enough system where you can categorize and tag. But you do need to know. You need to know what is causing your customer service tickets. And if you're managing that process, then you can actually make the customer experience better. And that'll keep people involved. It'll stop refunds. And you can change your marketing so that you don't get chargebacks. And that's really important, that feeling of buyer's remorse and that fear of bait and switch is a really real thing with online purchasing, digital commerce. And it's only going to get bigger and worse as the scam artists come out of the woodwork. So you want to distance yourself from those, and you want to make the best customer experience possible.
So now we move back into your funnel from the end to the next stage, going backwards, to look at what tools and what do you use there to effectively track what's happening in that middle phase.
The Mainframe is brought to you by the Rainmaker Platform, a complete website solution for building your own online marketing and sales platform. Find out more and take a free 14-day test drive at rainmaker.fm/platform. Stop trying to hack together your website yourself. Head over to rainmaker.fm/platform today and get back to building your business.
So when you're looking at the next piece of your funnel, working back from your conversion, now you're starting to look for leaks that are happening before conversion. And what is it that's causing people to move from the initial lead portion to this middle section? And where are they going from there, right?
Exactly. And Tony's talked quite a bit about allowing your prospects and customers to follow the scent. So a big place where you can have leaks is where somebody has come into the funnel, they're all excited, and then they get lost. So make sure that there's a logical and enticing sequence from the beginning to the end so that people know that they're on the right path and they're going to solve the problem that they have or going to achieve the goal that they have in mind. Don't let people drop out mid-flow.
And you need to make sure that they can find those things easier. I mean, you remember that scene in Interstellar where he goes without too much spoilery, he ends up in a place where there's all these different choices that he can make once he's entered into the black hole. And think of it like that. If somebody's looking at all these different things and where do I go? They have to instinctively know where to go. Matthew McConaughey's character instinctively knew where to go to do the communication that he needed to do. That's what you need to do. You need to think about it that way. Once they've dropped into the wormhole or dropped into the black hole, how can they find what they need to move to the next stage so that they can easily figure out what part they're at and know where they are? And you have to make that as easy as possible, because they will always follow the path of least resistance, right?
Yeah, and Google Analytics allows you to actually visualize those funnel paths. You can see how people get to pages, where people go from one page to the next. So you can see where they're going, see where they come from. And that allows you to work back to your best converting pages. Which pages produce goals? Which pages convert? Which pages lead to conversion? And you'll find that you've got some superstars and you've got some pages that you need to work on and some pages that aren't really relevant, so you can focus on those as a lower priority. But the thing at this stage that you're doing is making that content conveyor belt that Sonia and Brian talk about that moves people from the beginning to the end so that they're happy to go through the process, that they're eager and excited, and then they convert and then they're happy customers.
Yeah, the educational approach here is very important because at each step that they move into the funnel closer to conversion, you need to make sure that they better understand what it is that you are providing. So by educating them along the path, so you're giving them this scent that we've talked about, so it's very clear where they need to go. But at each stage, you're educating them and giving them the information they need to better understand where they're going to get, where they're going to end up, ready to convert. So when they get to that final sales page and they're ready to make the decision, there's a lot less resistance because they feel like they've been emboldened. They know what they're looking for. And you can do this tracking all in Google Analytics by looking at drop-offs in the funnel. You can also look at which pages that are doing really well, but where are people spending their time? If your educational pages are enticing people to stay and then move on in the direction you want, you know they're working. If you see that people aren't spending a lot of time on the education pages, it could be for a lot of reasons. It could be overwhelm, it can be confusion. So you need to look at those. And this is another area where you can use simple things like Google Analytics to track what people are doing. What is the behavior that people are having at this section of the funnel?
And with your marketing automation, you should be able to see how many people are currently in a nurture or recovery sequence and how many people have taken action so they've moved into the next stage of the sequence. So if you have meaningful labels and names for your marketing automation triggers and you've got autoresponder sequences that nurture people who are a no and move people forward who are a yes, you can actually see how many people are in those buckets. So that's a really simple overview look you can have and just go in and see, okay, we've got 20 people who have just moved forwards. We've got 30 people who are waiting in the sort of zombie holding area who need nurturing to move forward. That allows you to not just have a test to see how well it's doing, but also you can see if you need to be getting more people into the front of that. And that moves us to lead generation.
Right, because now you're moving to the start. This is where people really kind of get into the funnel. This is where you really start to get a handle on the type of people that are visiting. And you're using your conversion methods here to drive people deeper into the funnel. And this is one of those areas that a lot of people make mistakes. You want to build a quality list and a quality funnel, not quantity. So if you just have something that requires people to sign up to, you know, because it's annoying or, you know, there's really no enticement in that lead for somebody to give you their information, you're building a list, but it's not helping your funnel process. So that's the first thing you need to look at is what are the sources that are sending traffic your way? And what are you offering people on those pages that are allowing them to really want to engage with the content, right?
Exactly. So there's two parts to this part of the lead generation testing. One is wherever possible, you want to have a custom landing page for each lead source because that gives you the most granular information. But also, wherever possible, tag your lead sources. So if you're putting a link into Twitter or Facebook, or even on a guest article, use the Google Analytics URL builder so that you can tag with the campaigns, the lead source, all the information you need to know, because that's going to add valuable meta information to your Google Analytics. So you can say which campaign works best. Okay, it was this tweet here sent lots of valuable leads, so we need to do more of that. This tweet over here did nothing. Nobody clicked it, or the people who clicked didn't convert very well. You need to know that. Otherwise, you look at everything as a big cloud of traffic, and you don't know what's going on. So you need to know per lead source, per campaign, and campaign's a fancy word for which attempt, right? You need to know which is working best and which are losers, because you need to do more of what works. You need to do less of what doesn't, or at least you need to be fixing what's not working so well. So you need to know who your top lead sources are, what you did that got the best quality activity, and you need to send people to custom landing pages.
That's right. And this is one of those areas that people tend to flounder a little bit on, especially when they're getting started with tracking things with Google Analytics. Because, you know, Google Analytics is really this really powerful thing. And if you're just flailing away blindly, you don't know what you're doing. You're kind of like Greatest American Hero without the instruction book, or Steven Universe. You got the gem, but you just don't know what the gem does for you. So you have this powerful tool, but you're not really sure how to use it. So the first step is to get a handle on what it is that you're trying to determine from the leads and where they're coming from. That's a very basic place to start. And this is advice I give over and over again. Look at Google Analytics training system. They have a great educational course, how to use the basics of this, especially for things like leads and traffic sources, and then on to their conversion funnels. Take advantage of the fact that they offer these tools for free and go up there and learn about it. And that allows you to do this more effectively rather than kind of flailing around. But once you have an idea of how you're doing this and you know what you're doing, you're really looking at different lead sources, right? Because you have to look at things slightly different from an advertising perspective versus an email perspective versus organic traffic, right?
Yeah, and really the end result of any advertising or organic traffic needs to be email opt-ins, because you don't want to be doing activity and putting your resources into reaching the same person over and over again. And you definitely don't want to be spending money to reach the same person over and over again. But with the advertising, you really don't want to be spending too much to get the right people, and you don't want to be wasting money on the wrong people. So it's even more critical if you've got a budget that you don't waste that budget. So you need to know what your cost per acquisition is, and you need to know where and how you can advertise to reach the right people for the least money. That means you have to be in your advertising system, making sure that your bids and your cost per acquisition is as low as possible. But you need to, again, have those goals. You need to know how much those goals are costing you. And you at least want to break even or be slightly ahead, because even though you've got lifetime value, you might not be ready to calculate that yet. So as time goes on, the long-term plan is to have a good lifetime value figure so that you know how much you can spend at the start. That means you can put the budget up. But until you've got that figure, you need to be a bit cautious. So you need to keep your advertising costs low while being effective. That's a delicate balance. So you need to know which advertising campaigns are working best. You need to know from your organic what your numbers are for your conversion rates. And that leads us to making sure your opt-in conversion rate is as high as possible while keeping in mind your overall goals, so that you're not just, as Tony says, annoying people so that they fill a form in to get rid of it.
It's really about looking at this as part of an overall strategy that we've talked about time and time again. And we're talking about practical metrics tools here. And we Google Analytics is probably the most practical tool if you're using it effectively. And things like your email forms. So if you're using an email contact form, how is that utilized in a way to drive people further into the funnel, into that content conveyor belt, moving them along, educating them, eventually getting to their conversion? Because this is all the different steps that you take to get people to come to your site, see what you have to offer, educate them about that, make them want to buy, and then purchase, right?
Exactly. And the same with the lead conversions. You want to have a custom landing page. With your email program, you should be able to have different forms so you can see what the conversion rates are. But the conversion rate is a piece of a puzzle. Look at the whole attraction, retention, conversion. It's all one flow. And we're talking about a long-term approach here. So it's not just about getting that conversion and then the refund. It's not about getting somebody onto a list and then they never click anything. You need to be measuring all the way through. So Google Analytics, it's probably 80-90% of it, but also use your advertising tool, your email tool, your shopping cart system to make sure that you're tying all these numbers together.
So to wrap all that up, basically the idea is to start at the end of the funnel. Look at your goal conversions. Look at it, what it is that you're trying to achieve. And that's where you start. And you use things like your shopping cart system and Google Analytics to track what those conversions look like. And then after the purchase, use things like your help desk and your onboarding systems to track what is happening after they purchase at the end of the funnel to make sure that everybody is a happy customer and wants to be a return customer. Then you move backwards through there to the funnel flow, to the different steps and the different leaks that could happen as people move through the funnel, that content conveyor belt. Where are people spending their time? How are your landing pages converting? Are they moving them further in the funnel? And are you educating people? And finally, we start at the beginning where that lead generation starts. Where are your traffic sources coming from? Where are they going to? And how are they moving further in the funnel? Are your advertising methods actually getting you the best value for the money you're spending? And is your email conversion rate working well? Use the tools like Google Analytics, your email system, and the other conversion parts of your site to better understand that flow from the beginning to the end.
So now you should know where your best leads are coming from and how to best convert those leads. You want to start thinking about retention. In our next episode, we're going to look at continuity, membership size, and community.